Now on RTE Radio 1, time for this week's Countrywide with Philip Boucher-Hayes.
Shh, we can't run that clattery, noisy old sick tune. There's a newborn baby in the house. We're not in studio in Dublin. We're seated around the kitchen table in Edwina Guckian's house in Drumsna, County Leitrim. We're not here to dance, though I think there might be a little bit of dancing later on. We are here to ramble, to Mitch, to Kaylee. We're here because Edwina is launching nationwide the Just Rambling project from her kitchen table in Drumsna. The kitchen is full of neighbours who are being very, very quiet, and friends. And usually, obviously, that would be the cue for a big welcome to Leitrim cheer, but there's going to be no whooping and hollering because six-week-old Junie, one of the cutest I have ever seen, does not want to be disturbed. Good morning, Edwina.
Good morning, Philip.
Good morning, Junie. Oh, perfectly. Shh. Are you crazy or are you amazing inviting everybody here? She's just 6 weeks old.
Yeah, well, sure. Might as well get her involved in the madness and crack. No point waiting.
What is Rambling and why does the world need the Rambling project?
Yeah, Rambling is, it's an old tradition of just going from one person's house to the next in your neighbourhood, uninvited, informally, particularly during the winter months, you know, in that those long dark evenings, of calling over to your neighbour, sometimes without even a knock, and walking in, and you're always invited in, you know, the door is always open. And it's not, there's no pressure involved, it's just you're going in for a chat. It's a social thing, you know, and it's something that died out with our automatic gates
and
our alarms.
Well, I was just going to say, is the electric gate to blame for it withering, do you think?
I think there's lots, you know, like it's really crazy now in today's world. If you want to call around to someone's house, you have to ring them maybe like 3 weeks in advance to see, is it okay if you call around? Mm. That informality is gone. And just the social connection to a community, you can live beside people right beside you for years and never have been in their houses or talked to them, you know, only to salute them as you drive by them in the car. So it's really, I think it's having a strong impact on social health and that connection and causing loneliness, particularly among our older generation in rural counties.
The benefits are really, really obvious, but trying to reintroduce something like that, that's an awful lot of social conditioning that you're looking to try and unwind. Yeah. What's your big idea?
Somewhere.
What's your big idea?
How are we going to do it? We have to start somewhere, you know, and set the seed so that the younger generation understands that it's okay to call to people's houses and chat and catch up. So the idea is that we're in winter now for the November, December and January, we're going to have houses that will host ramblers across Leitrim. And the idea will be there'll be volunteers that would pick up people who might not be able to ramble anymore. Maybe they're isolated or don't have cars or just need a lift and aren't confident driving at night time.
But are you going to have a designated day or night of the week in which
there's
you do
designated,
this?
Yeah, designated houses and designated nights. And then,
which is kind of not the purpose of
really. But just for this, just for these six houses. But then that's just to establish it in Leitrim. But then the wider call out is for people that aren't just going to these six houses, because you might know anybody in these six houses, is to go to your neighbour's house, bring your child with you, you know, all ages. This isn't just something for older people.
And are you very relaxed about what it is that's going to happen when people get there, or is there going to be a programme of activities?
Well, we'll have people planted there just so that there's no uncomfortableness, just to ease it in. But then we would hope it would happen naturally. Like, we hope to have a game of cards, or we'll have Fionnuala to sing a song, or Brian to play a tune, or I'm happy to do a dance, or John to chat about all the things he gets up to, you know, just to establish it. But really, the older generation don't need to be, you know, talked into this at all. They know how to ramble.
Are you dancing 6 weeks after giving birth?
Very, very gently, yeah.
Can we call Guinness Book of Records, please, and find out what the record for postpartum set dancing actually is before we go on? This is not just you having a bit of a notion. Creative Ireland Fund, from within the Department of Taoiseach, no less, have gotten behind this as an idea.
Yeah, well, Creative Ireland have supported all our projects that we've been working on in Leitrim. And a lot of my work with Brian and Fionnuala is about bringing people together and reconnecting community, regardless of what age they are, nationality. It's about bringing a community together and introducing each other to each other. And so that when we step away, a continuation is there of connection and they continue to sow oat seeds or go out mumming together or just call into each other's houses. That's vital. And Creative Ireland Funding is definitely a champion of that.
And you would like to see people in the other 25 counties picking up on this idea
absolutely.
As well.
Absolutely, yeah. Call to your, I'm putting a national call out for the winter months to call to your neighbours, get your children out, bring them over as well, get them asking questions of the older generation. Look for somebody in your community that might live next door to you that really needs calling too. Or how about go to them and ask them, do they need a lift to be brought somewhere? Like, would Mary over the road like to go visit JP? And bring them. You know, it's not a huge thing to do, but it's so important.
Look who has rambled into the conversation.
Another baby.
This is Nell.
This is Nell, yeah.
Nell, good morning. How are you? Oh, you've just gone shy on me. I have this effect on children. So if people want to talk to us this morning, 51551 on the text, and we have a new WhatsApp number, as you have been hearing through the last few days, 0870 32 32 32. Put it into your contacts as the Radio 1 number and you can get in touch with us and pick up the baton from Edwina here in Leitrim and run this idea nationally. Tell me about Drumsna.
Drumersnov. It's Drumersnov. A great village. Yeah, we have a great community, really strong community here. It's on the banks of the Shannon. And yeah, I've been living here on this farm all my life. This is our family farm here, Guckians. And yeah, I'm blessed. I'm surrounded on this road. I have my parents, my brothers, aunts, uncles and neighbours who all help with the childcare as well, which is great.
And you've made a very impressive business for yourself here with a dance studio attached to the house.
Yeah, that was one of the conditions of building the house. I have to have my own space to dance.
But not just you on your own. I mean, you're teaching classes in there, yeah?
Yeah, well, I don't really know. I bring people here to maybe work with me, or it's also a space that if somebody in the community wants to use it for a meeting or for doing their own dancing or Pilates, or creation, it's there to use.
We're all about the rambling this morning, though, and we're going to talk to a good few more people, and we hope to hear from you, 51551 0870 32 32 32 for the WhatsApp. I'm going to come back to you and little Junie. Oh, my God, look at it. How is she still asleep through all of this? Is this a noisy house? Is that how she does it?
It's soothing her.
Putting her to sleep. And it's no coincidence that since we arrived here yesterday, Brenda Donoghue has become fierce broody. Are you of a mind to go again, Brenda?
If there were any eggs there, Philip, I'd be straight on it. Other than that, me and Junie are heading back in the back of the car. No, she's beautiful. And we're going to take her to bed for a minute now, will you, Edwina, so I can be loud?
Would that be
okay?
Yeah.
I hate to be rude because I've never heard Philip so quiet.
I know, Brenda only has one volume setting, unfortunately.
Yeah, the Abbey setting. Listen, no house would be complete, I think, without an island. Would you agree? Well, I have come to the island and I am with John Reynolds. And I'm going to tell you what I know about John first. John, you're 76. You're married to Sheila. She's from Donegal. She was working at a nurse in the University Hospital Sligo. You met at a dance. That was it. Now have six grandchildren. What do you think of that? Yeah.
In order.
I know, I know.
That's a good part now.
But
you don't know that.
Right. But there's something here that you have in front of me. I haven't really seen it before. Will you tell people what we're looking at?
Well, we're looking at a churn, a small one, but it was commonly used back when I was young. There was different versions of a churn, the process of making butter, obviously. There was an end-over-end one that you turn around on an axle. There was also a dash churn, which was the most common one. And that was that they churn up and down like that until you got butter.
I'm churning now.
You're churning now.
So what have we got in the churn?
Philip
has kindly come over because can't leave me alone for a minute.
You could go a little bit quicker, Brenda, because you used to say slow churning makes bad butter. So, you want to move a little bit faster.
What do you mean? Oh my
She's
God.
Not a natural, is she?
No.
Is that good enough for
That's
you, John?
Now
it's going everywhere.
Yeah. There's bits now. Well, anyway, you get the idea. What do you call it? It's every house had a churn when I was young.
Yeah.
Or every farmhouse, I should say. and you milk the cows, put it into a vessel called a crock, and then the next day you could skim the cream off it and put it into one type of churn or the other.
John, do you do this because it tastes better or because you're trying to beat the supermarkets?
Did which?
Do you make your own butter because you're trying to beat the supermarkets or because it tastes better?
That's why I was envying Ben Dunne the other night on the television. I was thinking, Jesus, he never churned butter. he could sell it at half price or whatever. But yeah, the idea of churning now is nearly gone, except for in folk memory. But yeah, it was very important. Homemade butter was in every house. When we'd have visitors, Yankees or any other visitors, we used to be delighted because you'd have to buy creamery butter, and it tasted far, far nicer than what we were getting.
Do they really call you the Rambler Reynolds?
The which?
The Rambler Reynolds.
No.
They don't call you that?
No, we call
you. Behind your back, John?
Killiers, Ramblers. There was different names for people visiting. One of them was Killian, which was the common phrase used for visitors coming in at night. Down here, they call it Ramling. And in Donegal, they call it Raking. So there's different names
Well, I have news for you. Behind your back, they are calling you the Rambler Reynolds. So you must be turning up unannounced.
And John, come here. Will we have butter if I keep churning?
Oh, you will.
By the end of the programme.
Except, although years ago, they used to be a bit wary of certain people coming in the house. They used to say they had the ability to take the butter off the milk. I don't know why. And you could churn for days and it wouldn't turn into butter. So I hope there's nobody here with evil eye that takes...
I think you're looking at her. Sorry, Philip.
I'll keep churning now because once you start churning, you have to keep going.
Right.
Will that be all right?
Well, go ahead, knock yourself out.
You do that there now, Brenda. We have found a useful purpose to put you to. I want to introduce everybody to another star in the making. There must be something in the water in Drums now that has created an above average number of born entertainers. I am joined by 9-year-old Leo Early from just down the road, and Leo is the winner of the Fesh Ceoil All Ireland Storytelling Competition. Hello, Leo, good morning.
Hello.
That's some hat, Leo. Where'd you get that?
It's from my Uncle Noel.
And is that your storytelling hat?
Yeah.
The hat has to go on.
It has to be there.
It has to be there. Why? Are you any good without it on?
Oh, no.
How did you get into the storytelling?
Well, I actually don't know. I was at school and I went home and I was looking for the competitions, and then I tried storytelling. And then I tried that. I got on pretty well the first time. And then I just wanted to do it again.
Okay, and from there it all took off.
Yeah. From there it all took off, really.
And when they judge you in a Fesh Ceoil, what are they judging you on? Is it just remembering the story?
No, it's a lot of things. It's expression in the words, expression in the face, clear words.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And wait till you hear this, folks. You're going to do a story for us now, aren't you?
Yeah. Mary Ann McGee. The local Coalfest committee, they needed one to dance in a set. They found that in the parish, even one was hard to get. If it wasn't corns, it was ulcers, rheumatics one or two. The situation got so desperate, they thought a one-legged one would do. So they got into a huddle and did finally agree. There was no one else they could enlist, only Mary Ann McGee. Now, Mary Ann had lost her man in a traffic accident. And from the hell that he'd been through, it was straight up above he went. Mary Ann collected the insurance and got on with her life, determined that before too long that she'd be someone else's wife. Rehearsals in the village hall were held 5 nights a week. As Mary Ann kicked timber, the sweat flowed from her brow and cheek. She tried remembering all the moves, her brow in consternation knit. You know, she might have been enthusiastic, but she wasn't very fit. Competition night arrived. Mary Ann stood in the wing, her body stiff with tension and her nerves as tight as fiddle strings. She could see into the audience and her heart did skip a beat when she spotted an old boyfriend down in the front row seat. But one crucial thing she didn't know, but was to learn later, was the man she knew long years ago was now the adjudicator. The musician started playing and she braced herself to go and hoped that in the judge's eyes unnoticed she'd not go. But disaster clouds were lurking near and her partner swung her round. He swung her just a wee bit hard and her 2 feet left the ground. Her size 6 shoe slipped from her foot and sailed into the air. At speed it headed towards the judge and seated in the chair. A gasp of astonishment from the audience arose as the speeding, spinning missile smacked him on the nose. Well, the blood was pumping down his face. Marianne was mortified as she came down to claim her shoes or her face she tried to hide. With that, she climbed back on stage. You know her mind was in a flap. But then didn't things go from bad to worse when she felt the elastic snap? Oh, the cruel hand of fate had struck like some terrible disease, when what should have been around her waist was down around her knees. She rushed out to the car park, the tears coursing down her cheek. She fumbled with the car lock, feeling tired, old and weak. So she started up her motor and she set off like a rocket with immigration on her mind and her drawers in her pocket.
Isn't that brilliant? Leo Ernie, and if you could have seen the facial expressions, it's no wonder he's the Fescule winner. Right, we've given up on any chance of Junie sleeping now, and particularly with what we're about to do. We've moved into the sitting room to join a group of musicians led by Fionnuala Maxwell. Fionnuala is a traditional singer, composer, tutor from Leitrim, and also involved in the Just Rambling project. Why? What was the attraction?
The attraction is people, working with people, communities, bringing people together, and also to show the community spirit and all that we have here in Leitrim. Mm-hmm. There's just so much here in Leitrim. But it really is working with people and just bringing people together. And I think people, when you chat to people and you have this kind of conversation or you go and visit somebody, the feeling that you get afterwards is something that you can't get from anything
else. I know, absolutely. There is a buzz, a high, isn't there, after connection. Are you doing it now, or do you feel inhibited and that you need to text and make all kinds of arrangements 3 weeks in advance?
Yeah, 4 children. Yes, you need to make all kinds of arrangements. But it's more difficult. Growing up, I was in and out to neighbours' houses. I think sometimes we spent more time in the neighbours' houses than we did at home when I was a child. And they were so happy to see us coming. And now it has changed. It definitely has changed. You feel like you're maybe encroaching on people when you call on them. So definitely it's a... I don't know. I think that it's important that we realise that people are people at the end of the day.
And there's no need to be house proud about this. You don't need to be out with the Hoover and the Duster and the mops.
Not at all. No, if you expect me to be out with the Hoover now, you'll be disappointed. So
take me as you find me.
Absolutely, absolutely.
You are collecting music and collecting songs as a part of what it is that you do. Is there something distinctive about the kind of music that you would be collecting from this part of the country?
Yeah, I suppose what's really important to remember is that there was all sorts of music, and I'm looking out here, there's a load of houses I can see from the window here, and at one stage, in every second house, really, there was somebody who was playing music. There was a fiddle maybe hanging on the wall, or somebody would have a flute, they'd take it out to play a few tunes. If you didn't have that, you might have jigged a tune, see a lilted a tune, there was dancers, and it's just about the people on the ground. Music was like conversation nearly at one stage, and that's really important, that when we're even collecting music... Some people played a lot of music. Other people, you know, it was a leisure thing. It was something they did when the neighbours kind of strolled in at night time. But it was just that sense that there is just so much of it there. People talk about going to Kerry or going to Clare, but come to Leitrim. There's absolutely a huge amount of music in Leitrim. And that's what I've been finding more and more. Once you start with one kind of area, you go, oh my God, there's so many more. People start coming with more material and saying, hold on, what about John Frank and Mary Jo? They used to play as well. So it's just... there's been so much of it.
Who have you brought along with you this morning?
I have here, well, I didn't bring them along with me. They follow me around, these crowds. I can't get rid of them. I've got Brian Mostyn on the box over there on the accordion. And then we have Mick Mulvey. He has the flute there ready to go. And then we have Fíochra Guíhan, and he has a load of instruments here. Not sure which one he's going to play, but it looks like he's going to start off on the harp anyhow. But he's a multi-instrumentalist.
Okay. And what are you going to play for us?
We are going to sing a song which is called My Own Leitrim Home, which is from this area. So it's also
well, where
gives
else
us a message.
Would it be from?
Absolutely,
now?
Absolutely, yeah. Other counties may boast of their rich lands, where fat cattle roam at their will. But give me a home in Aughbrethly, at the foot of a wind-covered hill. I ask not for fame or for fortune, just give me my own Leitrim home. Yes, I ask not for fame or for fortune, just give me my own Leitrim home.
Email countrywide@rte.ie. Countrywide on RTE Radio 1.
We are live in Edwina Guckian's home. Oh, are we live or what this morning in Drumsna, County Leitrim? And here she is, 6 weeks after giving birth to little baby Junie, and you're calling the dance.
See you around.
Right, I suppose it's her baby. She'll wake it if she wants to. So with the dancing in full flow, there is another social initiative going on here that I want to focus on for a little bit. Social farming offers people who face additional challenges in life or have special needs that might leave them feeling isolated, gives them a chance to spend time with others on a family farm. So earlier, Brenda visited Tommy Early's farm on the shores of Loch Allen, where she met Chloe, Michael and Connor, who were throwing themselves into many jobs on the farm.
Hello, Brenda. You're very welcome.
What a spot.
Ah, it's nice. Now we're lucky with the view.
That's Loch Allen, just right there. Well, is it on your land?
It is. The land, the farm runs down to it. And the little hill that we're standing on here is called Mount Allen. And the Irish for that is Cnic Eolian, which is the beautiful hill. And you're looking down on Loch Eolian, which is the beautiful lake. So come over here now. We'll go down to the sheds where the gang that's social farming here, they're putting in a bale into the cows at the moment. So we'll give them a hand to do that.
This is a mixed farm. Tell me about your farm, Tommy.
Yeah, it's what we have here is what's called a suckler cow enterprise. So we have suckler cows and we rear the calves onto weanling stage and sell them off in the local mart at that stage. So we also grow a bit of vegetables on the farm. But a big interest on the farm here is biodiversity. And there's a lot of talk about that now. So we do a lot of work on that front. And
I think you're underselling it. Yeah.
So I'm a Farming for Nature ambassador.
Well
and,
done.
Thank you.
Where's your sash and your crown?
So we're going to put in a pond and we'll have a bunch of people coming helping us to do that. It's all about getting people to reconnect with the land. And I think that's one of the great things with social farming. It's re-establishing that connection with people, with the soil and with the ground again. It's nice to spend that time out in nature. And I think, you know, it's very relaxing. You get a great appreciation for the world around you. I've been very lucky over the years with the people that have come to visit the farm, because it's lovely when you see the farm through somebody else's eyes.
Yeah.
And they show you something. Like we'd say in the past year, we had person who was into butterflies, you know, and they explained to you all about the butterfly's life cycle and how it's, you know, follows through the course of the year. It opened up a whole new world that was just at your fingertips, but you didn't see it.
Now, how long have you been doing social farming and why did you get into it?
Well, I suppose the reason I got into it was there was an open day down on a farm in down in Monaghan. One of the participants that was on that farm, he stood up and he told his own story. And I thought it was powerful stuff. So I thought to myself, like, wow, you know, if I could only do something on the farm for one person, to help one person, you know, through a tough patch, it'd be worth doing it. So I set about and I done the training for it, and got some participants to come on, and there's a great satisfaction in doing it, because I think it's one of the best uses you can do with land. You're giving people that sort of a safe place where they can come, be themselves, and hopefully use this as a stepping stone to go on to maybe future employment, or to go on to do a course, or follow up on something, you know.
Come on, come on.
Come on.
So the calves got out the side of the fence there, and the problem is we need to get them calf back in.
How will we get them back?
We need to lower some nuts, so just keep shaking the nuts.
And shake get the nuts. And right. Get... You give them a shout there, see if you can get...
Come on!
Come on!
That's
it. Come on! Come on! That's the boys. Let them get a taste of it. Right, that's the job, that's the job. Right, they're in. Pull over the gate quick, Chloe. Come on. They're landed now. You put good on ya.
So my name is Chloe McKenna. I'm 20 years old and I live in Mohill.
So you're here doing social farming. You seem to have learned a lot by that quick rescue there. Why are you here and do you like it? Tell me about that.
So I love here is to give Mern a drink of water.
Who's Mern?
The brown horse. We always give him fresh water to drink. Feeding calves. So on Tommy's farm, we're planting pumpkins, cabbages. It's really good. When I went home, told my mom about that, I'm really happy. I learned a lot to check on the pumpkins, see if they're growing. And it's really good for me.
We're going to give in this bale to the cows, Michael, and so we'll just have the plastic took off.
Hello, what's your surname, Michael?
Michael McMara.
You are doing social farming. Have you enjoyed it so far?
I like to be on the farm this couple of weeks, and I like it very much. I'm out of Drumkeyern, and I like to come up to do a bit of social farming, and I like to do wee bits here and there. I look very, very, very good for it. Very good.
And what is it you like? Do you have a favourite job, or is there something you've learned from it?
Looking at the cows and calves, giving them wee bits of silage. I like the Shorthorn and the Belgian Blue. They are the two breeds of cattle I like. The Shorthorn and the Belgian Blue. I like coming up to Tommy's. It's very, very good for me. That's all I can say.
Conor McHugh is also social farming here. Tommy, what's your job at the moment?
This machine has been used for log splitting, but my name is Conor McHugh. I'm coming here 10 years. I'm 34 years old. Tommy is a very nice man. Start with Tommy first. I've enjoyed my 10 weeks. Something I'll always remember it very much, yeah.
So would you have big plans now for yourself after this?
Oh, I would have big farms. I'd say more, take over my dad's farm at home.
Have you enjoyed meeting all the other people who are social farming? Is that a big part of it too?
Oh, I loved it so much. I just love coming out here every week. I love Tommy picking me up in the morning.
And do you think it has changed you as a person?
Oh, I feel a lot better. Like, I'm always happy when I come up here, and when you leave a good county like Ballymore, Shona Heslins, up Cannabo.
So we're coming to the end of our placement here, you know, for that, and the few weeks have flown in, so they have. Hoping that you enjoyed your couple of weeks coming here, and it was great having you. And I know that we got a mountain of work done, and I hope that you'll get back here again, or that you'll get onto something else, you know. It'll be great to meet you in town or wherever we meet.
Thank you very much, Tommy.
Thank you.
Yeah. Well, no, will we go for a cup of tea?
Yeah.
Does that sound good? Right. Okay. Let's go.
And then we have to jump the pony tunnel before.
Oh, yes.
Tommy Early talking to Brenda, along with Chloe, Michael and Connor. Remember that newly minted WhatsApp number for your texts? 0870 32 32 32 or the old-fashioned text 51551. A lot of you in touch this morning. There's a farmer listening in his milking parlour. Loved the singing of Fiona Maxwell just before the break. Alana in Sligo says her 18-month-old was listening to Fiona singing and said dance and threw her hands in the air. Anne, who works as a home help in Wexford, thinks that this rambling is a great idea as older people are very lonely in her area after the pandemic. Now, joining me at the kitchen table, another newborn baby, so to speak, the new acting editor of the Leitrim Observer and relatively newcomer David Power to Leitrim. How long are you here now?
Pretty much the same length of time as the newborn baby, 6 to 8 weeks, so not very long. So I'm just settling in. I feel like a bit of an imposter in front of all the
Leitrim. Have you had to
people.
Do a crash course in Leitrim, have you?
Well, I worked in Longford in different places before, so not a million miles. So I do know some of it. I knew Drummond in a few places before. So and I'm actually very lucky. All our staff in the office, I better mention them all, are local. We've Stella Gordon, who's from Kinloch. Marie Conboy is from Clune, and Owen Gallagher is from Kinloch as well. So I've been told, say, 2 North Leitrim, 1 South Leitrim, seems to be a big issue. And then we have John Connolly, who's the sports editor. So there, he's actually a dub that's been naturalised. He's in Leitrim nearly 40 years.
That just goes to show you what a tight operation local papers are. 4 plus you.
Yeah, and actually, those 3 that I mentioned first have been taken on in the last couple of months. So they're kind of almost, some of them are more newborn than me in the office, but it's a great investment in local journalism as well, that we have those, they're all young reporters, so it's great to see, and they're all from Leitrim, so I think everybody will be happy with that.
Sell somebody who gets all of their news from Facebook or from WhatsApp groups on the idea of a local paper.
Well, I suppose for us, we're not just a local paper. we're obviously the print edition, but we are, you know, we have a big online presence as well. So we would be digital first. So I think the print, we like to think we cover all the issues that are important to people. But we also have a big online presence. And I think we're pushing close to 1 million page views a month now at this stage. So,
are you really?
Yeah. So it's so we're working really hard because you have, I suppose you have the people abroad, the Leitrim diaspora, and then you have the people locally as well. So we have a huge online audience as well as the print that comes out every Wednesday. And I think we were doing a story this week and someone actually requested, can it go in the newspaper first before it goes online? Whereas everyone would normally be of the mindset of digital first. But
that's
I think
interesting,
it's still,
isn't
yeah,
it?
It was interesting. I was kind of taken aback by it. And I suppose people still do. Maybe there's more gravitas with the print. I'm not sure. But they seem to like to see it in print. But we have a big online offering.
It's nice to have something tangible that you can actually hold on to, isn't it? What's the big story in Leitrim right now?
Well, there are many big stories, but I think everyone here will know that the county final tomorrow between Ballinamore
and Seanahessen. It's not Brenda Donoghue.
Brenda Donoghue. That'll be the big story on Wednesday. We will cover that and against Mohill. So the county final is a big one. But there's been so many stories. You know, when you come to a new county, I was wondering what's it going to be like. We've had so many stories in the last few weeks. We had a lot of win. Then, of course, the ladies won the Mary Quinn Cup, which was a fantastic thing.
More of that, you know, in a moment.
Yeah,
how much was the lotto win?
The lotto was a win. It was 1,005,000, I think. So that was in Kinloch, or some people call it Kinlaw, I'm told. So that was supposedly a family syndicate. So we haven't found out who that was yet.
Oh, well, there's going to be many stories flowing out of that as they decide how to divide the money. Yeah.
And the fact that we have 2 people from the village, we were waiting to see if any of them come in to work in a new Beamer or a Mercedes, but it didn't happen anyway. So it wasn't one of our staff, because they're still working with us anyway. But it's actually, you know, even though the population is small, the amount of stories and stuff in Leitrim is surprising. And you mentioned as well a tangible thing. We have Leitrim Life coming out in a few weeks. It's a magazine that we worked on, and it covers all this, a lot of businesses, writers, different things in Leitrim, and it really is a high-class production. We're really excited about that as well.
So, and will you be getting behind the Just Rambling project?
Yeah, it'll certainly be in the paper next week anyway, and I think we'll do more of a feature now that I've been to Edwina's house and seen everything that's going on. It's a great way to make a living, Philip, to be here having all this fun. It's not like a job at all.
It beats working, doesn't it? It sure as hell does. All right, David Power, thank you very much. Now, Brenda is in her happy place, surrounded by her fellow top-class athletes. Who's with you, Brenda?
Thank you very much, Philip. I am with a cup. To be more specific, you mentioned them with David there, the ladies' Leitrim GAA team. On the 4th of August, they lifted this cup that's right in front of me. The Mary Quinn cup was lifted by the captain, Michelle Gherkin, and she is here with me now. Lift up the cup, Michelle. Michelle, I was actually in Crow Park on that day when Leitrim won the intermediate title. And it was such a tough match because you only won by a point. You're playing against Tyrone, they came back. And the emotion in the stands, it was relief, it was exhilaration. It was just, and you gave one hell of a speech. Can you remember what you said when you went up there to receive the cup?
No, not really, Brenda, to be honest. Can't really remember, but no, it was very emotional, I suppose, at the time. We were waiting a long time, 17 years since 2007, when Leitrim Ladies first brought the Mary Quinn Cup home. So it was just a great experience for us all. We'd won panel member, Charlene Turrell, on the pitch in 2007. She was there again this year. So she knew what it felt like. The rest of us didn't. And it was an emotional roller coaster the whole day anyway. So it was brilliant.
And I was just talking to Fionnuala, our beautiful singer here. Come over here to me, Fionnuala. You were there as well. And I think for Michelle to say it was great, it meant a lot. But you were actually in the stands. Mm-hmm. Can you put it in words what it meant to watch Michelle go up and hold that cup?
Oh, it was absolutely amazing. I mean, I had my own kids with me as well, and I don't think we've ever counted a clock down as loudly because it really was clinging on to that last bit of going, please, please, please. And it was amazing. And for little ones, my youngest is 7, and for her to see that, it was just inspirational. Yeah, and to see people that you knew as well up in the stands, and Michelle with her speech and the whole lot, it was inspirational for everybody. Yeah, absolutely.
And you've young girls, and Michelle, I'm not going to say you're retiring or anything like that soon. And I know you've been there and back kind of thinking about it. But is it important that you're a visible presence for young girls to get into the game?
Yeah, I suppose the LGFA are really pushing on keeping girls in sport. So there's a good dropout age. Well, there used to be from about between 13 and 15, 16. So they've put in lots of initiatives there to keep girls in sport. And I suppose winning this Mary Quinn Cup on the 4th of August, it is encouraging younger people, especially younger girls, to keep involved in the Gaelic football, because it's not even about the sport, it's about the community and everything around you. Like, the support we've had for the last 2 months has been unbelievable, like going around to the villages, the schools, the towns. The support, it's just hitting us now what it actually means to the whole county. We just thought it was our own little bubble of the 30 of us, so the 25 girls and the 6 of the management team. We thought we were in our own little bubble and that it meant so much to us, but you can just see by travelling around the county how much it means to everyone else. The younger generation, the older generation, they're just so proud of us.
It was a big party when you came home from Carrick and Shannon. I mean, it was on the news. I even think Marty Morrissey was there, but it was a big party.
That was probably the biggest memory that will stick in my head, was getting off the bus, returning back to Carrick Shannon and getting off the bus to see the crowds of people in Carrick. It was lashing rain and they stood out and watched us and walked with us the whole way down to the town, to the landmark where we had our reception, and it was just unbelievable. The scenes were incredible.
Well, do we want her to retire? No. Are you thinking about it? Oh, sorry, what's your relationship with Edwina?
Oh, Edwina, yeah. So myself and Edwina are second cousins, so my grandfather and Edwina's grandfather were brothers. So, I didn't get the creative skills now. Edwina got, I got the bluntness probably, and the...
I think I'm starting to dislike you. You're all far too talented in your own fields.
No, I definitely didn't get the creative gene. Anyway, that's gone. You wouldn't like to see me on a dance floor. Definitely not. I'm better stuck with the muck outside in the pitch.
Will you keep playing? We don't want her to retire, am I right? We're all very proud of you. Keep playing and hold that cup up high. And congratulations, Michelle, and all the ladies footballers in Leitrim. It was a phenomenal match. It was a great atmosphere. And she can live off it for the next few months anyway, can't
you? Exactly. Yep.
Michelle, everybody.
Thanks, Brenda. Thanks very much.
Philip, how's the butter?
Yeah.
John has made enough butter to give everybody in this county a heart attack. He tells me it's not salted, but I'm just going to have a little nibble now. Oh, geez, that's worth the effort. That really is worth the effort. I can taste the bit that you spoiled, Brenda, but the rest of it is really lovely. Edwina's back at the table with me because we're all about the rambling and getting this project going.
The text response is absolutely phenomenal already. Great. Excuse me talking to you with my mouth full. It's disgusting. Loneliness is the issue with many. Tear down those walls, says Patrick in Killarney. Congratulations to Edwina on a superb project that will make communities more inclusive and welcome. This is one curmudgeon says, I live alone with my dogs. I hope you don't give my neighbours the idea of calling in. I'm happy with the dogs. Please stop. Anne suggests a small variation. Rather than calling on an older person in the dark, she gives a quick call to say she's on her way. She thinks that this is a good idea. It would improve the older person's sense of security that they're not frightened by a caller at the door. It's a good idea whose time has come, Edwina. Mm-hmm.
Say that again, sorry.
It's a good idea.
Oh, it is. Sorry, Philip. Yeah. No, it
sorry,
is.
Sorry, it's the butter. It's the blade.
Yeah, your full mouth. No, and last week I read a study there about how all of Ireland's people who were 100 years plus were interviewed, and they were asked, what is it? What's the secret to living that long? And the journalist expected them to say, you know, don't smoke, don't drink, eat your five a day. And they all said it was the importance of social connection that had their lives so healthy and made them live that long. And I think it's testament to all of us. And again, to just reiterate it, it's not just elderly people that need to ramble. We all need social connection, no matter what age you are. It's so important for our mental health.
Now, as I said earlier on, Creative Ireland are supporting this or behind the Just Rambling project, and Alice Dixon from Creative Ireland has joined us as well. It must have seemed like a little bit of a nebulous one when she came to you first. You want us to support doing what? People go into your kitchen?
Well, it wouldn't be the first time that we've started projects or had conversations that seem a little bit off the norm. But no, I think the whole point of Creative Ireland funding is, just like Edwina said, to have connection with people. And it's all about people using creativity as a tool to kind of embrace one another and get to know each other. And it's the perfect tool. So it can be conversation, it can be dance, music, anything that, you know, strikes a little spark between each other, and that's exactly what this rambling project is about.
Do you smell that bacon? I'm just getting temporarily distracted and very, very hungry. What practical support is Creative Ireland offering to this project?
So funding straight off, practical support there. So it's also through the Leitrim Arts Office. I'll have to point that out as well. That's where I work. So we provide funding, but we provide support with communities. We work a lot with communities and with creative practitioners. So that can be people like Edwina, dancers, musicians, visual artists, anyone who has a professional creative practice. We work with them to develop creative projects such as this.
When's the first rambling night, Edwina?
We're kicking off in November, and I'm not going to tell you what day because I'd be afraid too many people might show up.
Come on, give us something
better than that. We're kicking off on the 6th of November, and we're kicking off at my house here.
Are you? Very good. All right, and what a welcoming house. What a beautiful home. The most impressive collection of old pictures. These weren't taken from some catalogue somewhere. These are all actual family members.
They are, yeah. Grandparents, great-grandparents.
The great-grandma.
Yep.
Who, this is a really amazing story, emigrated to America and...
met her husband over there, from over the hill from her home, married and came back and raised
came older. Back?
Yep.
That's the impressive part,
yep.
Isn't it?
Came back to Leitrim and bought a farm, and that's why we're all here today.
Oh, well, no, you're all here because when I look out that window, that's a view that you couldn't leave for very long. Listen, the best of luck with the Just Rambling project. It really does seem like an idea whose time has come. And we will check in with you in November. That is nearly it. Thanks to Edwina, thanks to baby Judy, and obviously to Nell and Paddy as well for allowing us into the home. We're going to leave you with another tune from Fionnuala Maxwell and Co. But just before we do, let me say that on the countrywide rambling team, Patrick Carney stepped out, Harry Buckler stepped in, Mark McGrath put his best foot forward, Amandine Passo-Devine churned the butter, and Brenda Donoghue fell completely head over heels in love with baby Judy. Look at her. She's cluck, cluck, cluck. But playing us out this morning, once again, Fionnuala Maxwell and friends.
Sit ye down, loyal comrades, sit ye down for a while, till I spend my last hour. Dublin's green isle. Come fill up your glasses, and we will drink hand to hand. For tomorrow I'll be leaving the shores of Loch Bran.
Countrywide on RTE Radio 1. Listen back on the RTE Radio Player.